May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1124. I fain would love the day of rest, would still esteem this day the best, but oft, alas, I've need to say, how barren is my soul today. 1124. Thank you.
Let us read together from God's holy word, from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 32. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper." And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways, and to according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day. and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses, upon whose roof they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests and their prophets, and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction, but they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me for ever, for the good of them, and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And the field shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidences, and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to his word and teach us each how to pray. Great and almighty Lord God, we come before thee as poor, weak, sinful creatures, not deserving of the least of any of thy mercies, but we come on mercy's ground. We thank thee, Lord, that we can approach unto a holy and almighty God through the precious blood of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that our poor prayers may ascend up to thee this day through thy dear Son. Do sprinkle that precious blood upon each of the prayers offered up this day, and may they find access and acceptance before thy Father. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear and answer us, not for our sake, but for Jesus' sake. And O Lord, we stand before thee just as we are. Thou seest, Lord, the inner man. Thou seest our thoughts. Thou seest us as we really are. And Lord, we marvel at thy loving kindness to us, that despite all our unworthiness and our filthiness, thou hast a people here below, a remnant, Lord, that thou dost love with an everlasting love, and that thou hast made an everlasting covenant with. And we do pray, Lord, that each here may be found with that interest in it. O Lord, that those right desires may be planted in the hearts of the people by the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we meet in vain this day if thy presence is not with us this day. O Lord, what is this house to me unless the Master there I see? So, Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit descended and rested upon Cornelius and his friends and his brethren as they heard Peter preach that simple sermon, so, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may descend this day and rest upon each one of us. And Lord, we pray that blind eyes may be opened, that deaf ears may be unstopped, that prisoners may be loosed from their bonds, that the tongue of this poor sinner standing in the pulpit may be loosened, and that thou would pour in and into this empty vessel, that I may be enabled to pour out to thy dear people here. And so, Lord, we pray, grant us thy help. Lord, it is of thee, we can do nothing of ourselves. Thou seest that we are poor, weak, and helpless. Thou art a great and infinite God. Lord, there is that vast gulf between a holy, holy God and us, poor wretched sinners here below. Lord, we confess our sins before thee. Lord, grant us that grace in our hearts to confess every sin. Lord, nothing's hid from thee. May we have that spirit of confession this morning, confessing all our sins, for thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with us. Lord, we are great sinners. We feel it, Lord, each day, how far short we come. Lord, as we see those many mercies that we have in our lives. We thank thee, Lord, for this house of prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for this day of rest, thy day where we can gather unmolested from the world. We pray, Lord, that thou shut Satan out from us. May our religious hours be left alone, we pray, and may we see Jesus only. Do send the Holy Spirit to reveal a precious Christ to us this day. May a precious Christ be lifted up on that gospel pole, and may sinners, feeling their need, through the Holy Spirit's work in their heart, be enabled to look up and live. So, Lord, we pray, as we meet together, there are those cases here, Lord, no doubt, that are perplexing, but may there be answers through thy word this day. May there be direction. May there be a word in season. May there be the word of comfort. And if need be, Lord, a word of reproof. Lord, grant us that spirit of submission, to submit to the words that we hear, to submit to thy will in our lives. Lord, may it not be we will not have this man to rule over us, but may we bow at thy feet in humble submission to thy sovereign will, and grant to us, Lord, more of thy grace. Put thy grace in our heart, we pray. O Lord, how we need it. So we bring before thee this people. We commit them into thy care, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast a cause of truth in this place. And we do thank thee, Lord, for thy watchful care over them here. And we pray, Lord, that it may be a light shining in a dark world, that those here may know thee as their Saviour, that they may know their own sinful state. Convince us of our sins, we pray, and then lead us to the blood of Jesus. Show us that loving man, we pray, that rules the courts above. And so, Lord, we pray for those around about in this neighbourhood, that the Holy Spirit may work in their hearts. Bring them in, we pray. While there is time and while there is room, we beg. Lord, as we feel we are living in the last times, may we be granted that concern, Lord, we pray. May the Holy Spirit work in the hearts, stir up those who are unconcerned. May they see the perilous state of their condition. May they see the frailty of life. May they see that vast eternity before them. And Lord, may they also see their desperately wicked condition, that mountain of sin that we each carry. Lord, may we be led to Calvary, and there our hopes of salvation, the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. May we each be granted that assurance of an interest there. O Lord, we think of our land and nation at this time. We think of those in high places who seem unconcerned. We think of those who are antichrist, those outwardly against our Lord Jesus and Christianity. We do pray for them. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt work in their hearts. Lord, what a wonderful thing it would be if those so outspoken anti-Christs amongst our country were turned, like Paul was, turned to the living God. Lord, we pray for forgiveness of our national sins our church sins, our personal sins. Lord, we mourn the state of Britain today, of which we are a part. But Lord, we thank thee that thou hast spared a remnant that through thy Spirit are sighing and crying for the abominations done in the land. Lord, we think of the low state of our churches. But Lord, as we look round this congregation met this day, those young people here, Lord, it gives encouragement for us to pray on. May we commit the young people into thy hand. Lord, never has there been such attractions in the world. Never has Satan had such allurements to entice away. And yet, Lord, thou canst keep them. As we send them out into the schools each day and into the world, Lord, they're out of our sight as parents, but may they not be out of thy sight. Lord, may they not find these things attractive. May their affections be set on things above and not on things of this earth. So, Lord, we confess our sins. O Lord, we beg for thy forgiveness. But Lord, we pray for thy presence this day. Be with us as we seek to speak in thy name. And may hearts be touched. May cases be met. And may none go empty away. Those who have come hungering and thirsting, we pray, Lord, that thou art to meet their needs. Lord, we ask great things. Our opening hymn, Lord, those desires of that hymn, may they be answered this day. What a favoured people we would be. And Lord, we ask great things, but we know we approach a great and almighty God. And Lord, we ask all these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. 762.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's help, I'd ask you to turn with me to the chapter we read, Jeremiah chapter 32 and the verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? At the beginning of the chapter we read, we find Jeremiah, the prophet and servant of the Lord, in prison. And he was in prison not for doing anything wrong against the law, but he was in prison for faithfully speaking the words that the Lord had given him to speak. The Lord had commanded him to prophesy against Zedekiah, king of Judah, and to prophesy saying that he would be taken captive and that they would lose their battle with the Chaldeans. And he said, "You shall not prosper." And friends, we don't like it when the Lord hedges up our way. We struggle when we hear that the Lord is leading us in a different pathway to how we would map out. And so here we have Zedekiah, king of Judah. He locks the prophet up in his own prison because he doesn't like the words spoken to him. And there's quite a contrast we find this morning between the dealings of the king of Judah with Jeremiah, in contrast we see Hezekiah, who was prophesied against by Isaiah, the prophet, how different the reaction was. You see, there's a difference between those two men. At that time, there was a difference. The Holy Spirit was working in the heart of Hezekiah. The Holy Spirit had made Hezekiah's heart soft. The Holy Spirit had opened his ears, and although the words he heard might not have been what he wanted to hear, he was granted that spirit of submission. And it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of submission, submitting to his words, submitting to his will in our lives. Hezekiah was told by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah that he was going to die. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What a solemn thing that would be if that was spoken to any of us. How would we react? Would we react in the same way as Hezekiah did? You see, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Zedekiah, king of Judah, locked up the messenger because the message wasn't agreeable. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed. And he wept sore. And the Lord, in love and mercy, granted him a most gracious answer. He spoke to him through the prophet Isaiah and said, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. The Lord hears the poor prayers of his people. And what a mercy it is. But he also sees the tears of his people. When we're away in secret, those things that trouble us, that maybe not even the closest members of your family know, those things that trouble you, those things that are weighing you down, those things that bring you to your knees in prayer, the Lord hears and the Lord sees. He sees those tears. What a beautiful thing it is if we can feel the Lord Jesus mingling his tears with ours. You see, he has a heart that can be touched with our feelings of our infirmities. See, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But he was tempted. And maybe there's things that are tempting you. Maybe there's your thoughts. Maybe you've made an open profession of the Lord's name, and yet you're not sinning outwardly like you used to, but those thoughts, your dreams, there's sin mixed in everything we do. But the Lord Jesus, he was tempted in all points like as we are. He sympathizes because of experience that temptation. He has a sympathizing heart. And he can and does sympathize with us. Although he sinned not, he lived that perfect life. He was sorely tempted, more than any of us will ever know. An experience. You see, those who are granted a great faith in the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit will have that faith tried. And Jeremiah, in our chapter we read this morning, had great faith in the Lord, and he was a faithful prophet. And as the Lord spoke to him in the prison, he requested a very strange thing of Jeremiah. He said that there would be his cousin, the son of his uncle, would come and request that he would buy a piece of land from him. And it must have been a very confusing word that he received from the Lord. Jeremiah being locked up in prison. You see, we know the end of it, but he didn't. He was locked away in a prison. And we have to bear in mind in those Bible days, life was not as precious as it is these days, and Some of these kings were rather despotic and unpredictable and would quite easily take someone's life for no real reason. And so Jeremiah was in prison, not knowing if he would ever be released, and the Lord said, buy this piece of land. And as soon as those words came from the Lord to Jeremiah, it came to pass. The Lord spoke, and it came to pass. And behold, Hanameel came in and asked Jeremiah if he would buy the piece of land. And as a faithful servant, and leaning on his Lord, although not knowing why, at that time he bought the land, and he took the outward witness of the deed. He took witnesses, he paid the money, and it was in the open, before the Jews, before the fellow prisoners. And the Lord constrained Jeremiah to go through with this strange and puzzling transaction, and it was leaning on him he was able to venture. But we see after that outward profession, after that outward following, we see Jeremiah brought to the throne of grace. You see, he wanted to know the Lord was with him in it. He wanted to spread it before the Lord, as it were. As Hezekiah spread the letter before the Lord concerning the invasion of the Assyrian army, those things that distressed Hezekiah, he spread them before the Lord. So Jeremiah prays to the Lord, and he gives an account to the Lord of all of the wonderful things the Lord has done for them, the children of Israel, in the past, all the past mercies and answers to prayer that they've been granted. And he confesses before the Lord at the start of his prayer that there is nothing too hard for thee. And yet, we know by the letter, we have the word of God, which we have read, or we read to ourselves, we have read to us, and we know that there should be in our hearts that knowledge that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. But do we really believe what we do believe? You see, there's a difference between believing it in the letter and really believing it in the heart. And it's being led in our lives by the Lord into places where we wouldn't see any good coming from him. Sometimes we're led into places where it puzzles us. It seems there's mistakes being made in our lives. We can't see the end of it. Sometimes we're in a problem and we pray to the Lord, Lord help me. But we draw down lines. We pray, Lord help me. Help this thing come to pass. Lord, if you could only enable this to happen, then I would be fine. Lord, constrain this to happen and all will be well. We chalk down lines and we ask the Lord to walk between them. And beloved friends, he won't. Sometimes our ways are his ways, and our thoughts sometimes are his thoughts, but not always. The Lord knows what is best for us. The Lord sees the end of a thing. We don't. We see it as it happens. We're seeing it in real time. The Lord is almighty, and we believe it, but do we really believe it? We know my life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye, but do we really believe that it is? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called, but do we really feel it all the time? We don't, do we? We have such a lack of faith. We feel we can't cast all our care upon the Lord. See, he says, casting all your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. But we like to do a little bit ourselves. We like to have a go first, and then we try and bring the Lord in. Or we have a mountain before us, and we think, well, we'll try this, and if the Lord could do that, then all be well. But it's committing and casting all our cares upon him. All of it. And it's that faith. If we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, if we had faith to believe that the Lord is in control, nothing takes the Lord by surprise. The Lord knows everything from the beginning of time, beginning of eternity to the end of eternity. He knows everything. He's all eternal. And we are so feeble and weak and faithless that we feel that we can second guess the way the Lord's leading us. We feel, Lord, I see an opening there. And you go, you try to go, and it's shut, and then Satan comes in and attacks us and will try us. You see, Jeremiah here was being tried. He had faithfully followed the word of the Lord and had bought this field, and it seemed really to most people madness, I suppose. It was an impossible situation. Why would you buy a field when you're in prison? Why would you buy a field in a land where it's held by your enemy? It's in captivity. Why would you buy a field in a land that's held in captivity, and you're in a prison, and you're about to be taken, because the Lord has spoken to Jeremiah and prophesied that they would be taken to Babylon? For what reason? It was an impossible situation. And at the end of his prayer, he said, "And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money." It seemed a waste of money. "And take witnesses." Do it openly. Was there reproach? Was there shame on Jeremiah for following what the Lord had spoken to him? Following the commandment? And he says, "For the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans, And then we come to this wonderful text we have before us this morning. This behold. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Behold, Jeremiah, child of God here this morning, poor sinner here this morning, feeling his need, feeling the weight of sin, feeling cast off. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. You see, the Lord God is an almighty God. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. The Lord is the creator of all things. The gold and silver are his. The cattle upon the thousand fields, are his. All the gold and silver is his. There's nothing in this world that isn't at his disposal. Wicked men, they think they're in control of their own lives. They think they are doing what they want. This world that we have around us thinks it's doing what it wants. But nothing can take place upon this earth without the permission of an almighty God, without the permissive will of an almighty God. You see, that everything is working the Lord's plan. The Lord's thoughts are moving on, they're undisturbed affairs. Time is rolling on. Day, night, till that last great day. Nothing will prevent it. We each here are not walking in our own will. We are walking out the plan of the Lord, the God of all flesh. And you may feel this morning that the Lord has led you into a particularly difficult circumstance. You may feel that you're in a particular circumstance, but you know not that it is actually the Lord who's led you there. Maybe something's come into your life, a particular trial or a perplexity, and there may be some here who feel, Lord, I don't understand why have we been led in this way? Satan will be on your shoulder. He will make hay. He will enjoy you feeling oppressed. Like Hezekiah, you may be feeling oppressed this morning. He had a letter delivered. It brought trouble. What did he do? What do we read he did? He spread it before the Lord. He took it to the Lord in prayer. He spread it before the Lord. Maybe you've received a letter and it's troubled you and it's came as a surprise. Maybe something in your life has gone contrary to how you thought it would. And you cannot see how any good could possibly come from it. And yet, friends, we have this wonderful promise, this question. The Lord is asking us each a question. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there something in your life before you that you feel is too hard for you? There's many things we each feel that are too hard for us, those mountains before us. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? See, I don't want to speak about myself, but before I made my open profession of the Lord, before the Lord granted me knowledge of forgiveness of my sin, I was brought into a very, very severe providential situation. And couldn't see any good ever coming from it. In fact, I was under severe conviction of my sin at the time, my desperately wicked past youth, misspent, and the mountain of eternity, and feeling so far off from the Lord, really felt I was heading in one place and one place only. And another blow came. As I was at my lowest point, another blow came. And it prostrated me literally on the ground. I just collapsed and begged the Lord, "Lord, one of thy children be thus tormented? Could I be that far off?" I felt that great fear. Satan telling me, "You can't be one of the Lord's people. The Lord wouldn't permit anything like that to take place to one of the Lord's people." And those words came in, we just sung, "A bruised reed, he never breaks." And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm broken." And then the smoking flax, "He will not quench." "Lord, I've nothing to quench, I'm out." But fan it to a flame, it's impossible. I couldn't be fanned to a flame. There was nothing there. I felt at the end of the earth. And yet, beloved friends, before the night was out, before the day had gone, the Lord had spoken through. I listened to a sermon on the. I couldn't get out. My wife was working at Bethesda in the evening, and I couldn't get to chapel. It was a Thursday evening. I listened to a sermon on the internet, and it was, "I will lead them with supplications, weeping with supplications." And the Lord spoke those words, "Yeah, I have loved with an everlasting love." And that impossible situation, that impossible thing had taken place. I had been fanned into a flame. The flame was burning brightly in my soul. I felt that liberty and that assurance of my sin forgiven and my pardon and peace with the Lord, that peace that passes all understanding. You see, friends, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Maybe you feel you're hard. Your heart is hard. Maybe you've had past tokens of the Lord's blessing, but it seems so long ago, and your own busy life has come in the way, and your own sinfulness, and things have gone cold. The love of Christ has gone cold in your heart, that you don't feel a precious Christ as precious as you want to feel, as you once did feel. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. The Lord is almighty. His love is unchanging. If you felt the love of the Lord in your heart, if the Lord has loved you, he will always love you. You see, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't tease his people. He doesn't tantalize. He doesn't, like the spirit of the world, we love something for a minute and then we drift off and something else takes our fancy. The Lord is unchanging. His love to his people is unchanging. And here Jeremiah was proving it. You see, the Lord had said to him, buy that field. The Lord had led him in that unusual, providential pathway. And he had followed, but he had then spread his fear, maybe, his perplexity before the Lord. And the Lord, in love and mercy, had turned and said, behold. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And you see, after this verse, the Lord then goes on to speak. And he's not saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, everything's going to be fine. He's not saying, Jeremiah, you're not going to be taken captive. He's not saying to us this morning, the path of a child of God is going to be a plain and smooth passage to heaven. He's saying here that I will take the city captive. I will perform what I have said. It shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. That's not an easy pathway for anyone to walk through. But we have another wonderful behold. The Lord was going to fulfill what he said. It wasn't going to be easy, but the Lord was with them. And sometimes the Lord will lead us into a pathway and everything seems against us, and we have this great mountain before us, and oh Lord, I can bear it, but let me know that thou art with me. You see, we've been in situations where the Lord has led us into a difficult pathway and we can't. Satan's at us all the time. You see, you're wrong. You've misled the Lord's people. You can't be one of his. The Lord wouldn't treat you like that. You're supposed to be one of the sons. You're supposed to be loved in everlasting love. How would this... Surely you'd have a lovely, smooth passage. Surely you'd never have any want of providential things. Surely you wouldn't have any illness. Surely your children would be all healthy. Surely everything would be smooth for a child of God, wouldn't it? Satan says. But being in a trial, the Lord spoke to me these words once. Your heavenly Father knoweth. And friends, the trial, the difficulty, hadn't changed. But those three words, everything had changed. See, if you're in a difficult pathway, if you're in a trying circumstance, and you feel you're on your own, you feel the Lord is nowhere, you feel cast off, you feel like the psalmist David in Psalm 51, cast me not off from thy presence, restoring me the joy of my salvation. You feel away, you feel that distance from the Lord, you feel your sin has come between you and the God you love. And you're in this situation, the Lord brought you there, friend, because he loves you. He's brought you there because that child of God needs to be brought back. The Lord knows how to deal with us. The Lord knows how to restore in us the joy of our salvation. And so the trial may not be removed, but your Heavenly Father knoweth. He knows where you are this morning. He knows your situation. May we know him as our Heavenly Father in that trial. See, nothing changed, but everything changed. The Lord has promised to bear his people, bear their burdens. It's in Isaiah. It's when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Why? Because you are loved with that everlasting love. And although you're brought through a difficult situation, a difficult trial, you have that mountain before you, may the Lord grant us that spirit of submission to, and may the Lord grant sanctification of it, that it be used to draw us nearer to him. You see, he deals with us as sons. It's the rod, it's chastisement. It's through much tribulation that we will reach heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ on earth, living as a man, lived through much tribulation. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? We don't deserve the least of the Lord's mercies, and he's faithful to us that he grants us more than we can ask or think. But the trials that we face, the trials that we come into, they're not always in anger. They're not always the rod. Sometimes we're praying, oh, for a closer walk with God. You can't have a close walk with God unless you prove those promises, prove those characters of God. How will you know that Jesus Christ is your rock unless you've never been enabled through your life to prove him to be that rock? How can we prove Jesus is the friend of sinners unless maybe we've had friends forsake us, and yet he shows his unchanging love to us, that friend that sticketh fast, closer than a brother? How can we prove he's the anchor of our faith? How can we prove that anchor? How can we prove how secure it's anchored unless our little ship, our little vessel through this voyage here below is brought into storms and into trouble? And as the ship drops the anchor, you see, you don't see the anchor, do you? It drops to the bottom of the sea and it's anchored. And it's anchored in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's anchored within that veil. It's anchored through the blood of Jesus. It's anchored through his death, his life, his death and his resurrection, ascension into heaven. But the ship, you see, that the storm will blow one way, and the anchor will be pulled out the front, and then the storm blows the other way, and for a moment the ship is going back over the anchor, and it it's in free fall. It's moving of its own accord. The anchor's not tight. But you see, the anchor's still firm. You can't always feel that the Lord Jesus with you. Satan will tempt you and try you. But as the storm continues to blow, the ship then spins round and it pulls tight on that anchor. And that anchor will not fail. The Lord Jesus Christ, our anchor, will never fail us. So Jeremiah was to prove that. The Lord promised him. He said and confirmed to Jeremiah what Jeremiah stated at the beginning of his prayer. Behold, I am the Lord thy God. Behold, I am the Lord the God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And at the end of the chapter, we read the Lord speaking, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised. There's an everlasting covenant. Verse 40, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Early on in Jeremiah's prophecy, we have the Lord comparing his promises with the covenants of day and night. See, the Lord said to Jeremiah, which giveth, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me, as sure as day and night. And later on, the Lord speaks again and confirms that if we have the ability to stop day and night, then the Lord's promises will fail. And beloved friends, we know we can't. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. This morning, the Lord has promised his people are safe. They are loved with an everlasting love. It's a beautiful doctrine, the doctrine of predestination and election. When you're a seeking sinner on your knees in the depths of despair, and it doesn't really shine forth because you're praying for, let there be room for me. You're begging the Lord for forgiveness of your sin. But to that sinner who's been granted knowledge of forgiveness of sin and has been led to hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that's a beautiful ordinance to a doctrine to feel that before time began, you've been loved with an everlasting love. It's a beautiful subject that the Lord's people are called from this sinful earth. Many, many are passed by. The sovereignty of God is past understanding. We know not the reason, but there's many, many that are passed by. But those who are brought to feel their need of him, what a wonderful privilege, and what a wonderful privilege to be found living in a day where we have the gospel. You see, Jeremiah was living in the old dispensation. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. we are a favoured people. We have the Holy Word of God. And we are all here this morning. And what a mercy that we are. May the Holy Spirit speak to those who feel, is there anything too hard? Maybe you have loved ones and families, children, parents even, and they seem so far off. They seem as far as sheep can run from the Lord. But there's nothing too hard. The Lord speaks it here quite clearly. Is there anything too hard for me? Friends, pray on. Don't let Satan disrupt your prayers. It's pray and trust. Pray with faith. Pray that you be given the faith to pray. Believing that he will hear. Not for our sake. He doesn't hear for our sake. It's for his great name's sake. It's for his honour and glory. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Pray on. Pray for those who you feel. That's a hard case, Lord. They've left chapel long ago. Really? Yes. Pray on. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And if it's in his sovereign will, all things will come to pass according to his will. May the Lord open our eyes and open our ears to this beautiful fact that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And may we be enabled to cast all our care upon him. The hymn says, beautifully sums it up, "Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear." See, you will have burdens. You will. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. We will have troubles. But he will not leave us to bear them alone. "I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Only when the way is rough and the coward flesh would start, let thy promise and thy love cheer and animate my heart." May the Lord grant us that this text floods into our hearts this morning, that we know we may be enabled to feel that this God, the Lord, the God of all flesh, there's nothing too hard for him, and grant us a spirit of real, true, seeking prayer for our own souls and those of those we love. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £780, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. There will also be a cemetery trustee meeting tomorrow evening, with the times being brought forward to 7 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 760. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. From pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sin. 760.
dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amidst in our worship this morning. Do forgive those things that are spoken wrongly. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear and answer those prayers of the people here this day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.